Preaching means telling everyone else how you are blessed. That is teaching. If you are happy, exhibiting Krishna consciousness is going to the whole world. As simple as that. Yes, Prabhu, everybody believes that you are happy. Yes, sir. What do you think of preaching? Set an example and spread the holiness. Yes. Example is better than precept. Yes, Prabhu, like that. You are Neil, no? Neil, yes. I forgot your name, Prabhu. Max. Neil, okay. Exactly. It should be practical according to time, place and circumstances. Like you can't be giving Krishna consciousness to the corporate world. They're expecting a little more sophisticated presentation. You can't go to their offices and just start kirtan there. Because that's not what they're expecting. So according to time, place and circumstances, we have to practically present. That's a nice way of looking at it. Yes, sir. Basically, we should realize that this, the way they are living is not good.
Yes.
In fact, we had a controversy regarding this. We had a lot of debates on this. Some people said, we had made a movie, we'll show you that movie, 10-15 minute film on ISKCON services in Bombay, what we are doing, what is our role and all that. So, the first 8-10 minutes we have shown how Bombay is going to hell, how people are suffering and things like that. And then the positive alternative, which is provided by ISKCON service. So the controversy was, don't you think, some people felt that people will feel offended. You mean to say we are wrong? So, it might not always work. But as you said, we have to give that. Prabhupada always gave that. This world is miserable, you are suffering. But it all depends on how we package it. Does anybody else like to add? What do you mean by preaching? You can tell us what you think, your realization of preaching. Oh, excellent. To teach people how to be happy. Prabhupada, many lectures would say, everyone is looking for happiness. You see that book, On the Way to Krishna? The first line Prabhupada begins by that. Everybody is looking for happiness. Nobody knows where is this happiness. So we are giving real happiness when we share this with others. This is called as preaching. So we have compiled 4 points which we would like to share with you. What is preaching? The first point is, as many of you rightly said, to progressively help a soul on his path back to God. This is a very important definition. To progressively help a soul on his path back to God. This covers a whole lot of things because now sometimes you might find a person of a different religion and you might be grossly violating one of the principles that we strongly subscribe to. And then you can't tell him. 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, otherwise your life is a waste. You can't tell him that, you can't convince him on that. So preaching to such a person would be what? Like for example, if the person is a meat eater, let's say he is eating cow meat 3 times a day, he is obsessed with it. Now you have to preach to him. Your preaching will be what? You might not preach to him about 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Compassion. You might, if you can convince him to give up cow meat, that's successful preaching. In fact, he might still be a meat eater. The problem is many times we think preaching means this person has to chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and he has to follow 4 regulative principles. Only then he has been preached to. That's a very narrow way of looking at things. Because we can't expect everyone to become Krishna conscious. Of course, we should try. We should try to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. But everybody has their own limitations. So when I confront, because I have been doing book distribution for the last 5 years since I joined the ashram, and we meet different kinds of people in Bombay. Bombay is a cosmopolitan city. White background, lot of people, Muslims, Christians, and atheistic people. So we have to judge, we have to feel the pulse and accordingly preach. So it all depends. So basically, talk. So the preaching mainly is understand the level of the audience and in his own way help him progress to come to a certain level. We generally give the example of grass. If you have wet grass and you light a fire, what will happen? Fire won't last, and what else will happen? Lot of smoke. Something positive will happen. It will become moist. The grass will become moist. The grass is wet. But if you put fire on it, it may not catch fire. At least it will become a little moist. It will progress. And if you take moist grass and put fire on it, will it catch fire? No. It won't, actually. Because it's moist. But again, there's something positive that will happen. What is that? It will become dry. And if you light fire on dry grass, actually it will turn into a blazing fire. Similarly, when we are out preaching, some people are like moist grass, some people are like wet grass. We might give them a lot of Krishna consciousness. And you might get frustrated because they might not become devotees. But don't worry. You have helped them on their march. You have helped them to rise to a certain level. So that is very important. One Srila Prabhupada was giving lecture in Vrindavan, I think. And I was talking to the devotees. One dog came and actually circumambulated Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting and he put his foot down. The dog came and licked his feet. And then a day later the dog left its body. The dog died. Prabhupada said, this dog was a great yogi in the past life. He had some, he just needed the dust of a third yogi. So that he got in his life and he went back. So the point is, we don't know who is what. We might be lacking our heads, what is this fellow, not taking up the Krishna consciousness, not becoming serious. But you might turn out to be far, far more advanced than what we are thinking. So we have to just be Krishna conscious and knowing that each person is progressively marching ahead. If Krishna consciousness is big ahead. The second point that we understand with preaching is, preaching means awakening the dormant consciousness of the living entity. This is also very important because generally we go by externals. This world is a make-believe world. Therefore we have substance. Awakening the dormant consciousness of the living entity. So Prabhupada will always emphasize on this point that we are not superimposing something external on you. This is not something external. He would always say, chanting Hare Krishna is actually the constitutional position of the soul. It is coming from within. In 1966, when Prabhupada was in New York at the Bowery, and then he moved on to 22nd Avenue, one man was challenging Prabhupada. He said, LSD is great. How can you say LSD is not good? Because by LSD you you get a kick, you stay high. So Prabhupada shouted back. He said, this is nonsense, because why do you need something external to stay high? That was the point that Prabhupada was hammering in that conversation. Because there is something within which, if you unleash, you can stay high forever. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is a natural position of the living entity. So when we say preaching, we are actually giving something which is not something foreign, which every soul inherently has. It has to be tapped, it has to be fanned, that spark has to be fanned. There is one nice shloka regarding this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know if you are aware, which talks about this, how this is. The original condition of the living entity is very popular. Shloka, we often quote this. Anybody know this?
Pardon?
Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Shavanadi Shuddha Chitta Kurayodaya. That Krishna Prema, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai, it's not something foreign. Shavanadi Shuddha Chitta, when we hear attentively the holy name and about Krishna, Kurayodaya, it arises from the heart. It awakens. Therefore, we should know that Krishna consciousness, preaching is not simply giving lectures. Because if you understand the definition of preaching on these two criteria which you have just given, the first one was to progressively help a conditioned soul come, go back to God. The second is by awakening the dormant consciousness. Now for both these things, it's not that only lectures will help. Generally, when we talk of preaching, the first thing that comes to our mind is preaching means giving lectures. I don't know about all of you, but in India, this is the concept. Now, I want to be a preacher means I have to give lectures. Well, that might be true, but we shouldn't ignore the fact that to help a conditioned soul awaken his dormant consciousness, to help him progressively march back to God, it's not only lectures that matter. Krishna consciousness has so many facets, and people can be attracted to anything. One of our leading teachers, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, he was leading Guru Puja today. He is one of our senior most youth teachers, college teachers. He became a devotee. He came to our temple, there was Shayan Darshan going on. At 8:50 we had Shayan Darshan. The curtain opened. Earlier we had a fountain. The fountain started, and then some devotees started the harmonium. It was very soft music. And started crying profusely. That was his first experience, and was completely overwhelmed. Even now, when he looks back, he finds those moments the most cherishable moments. Now, I never gave it a thought. I never thought about it, you know. How can 850 darshan be so captivating? But you don't know what aspect of what Prabhupada has given us could help which soul. We generally would conduct yoga retreat camps. I've been conducting the last 5 years here in the summer season for these young boys. And they stay in the temple premises for 3 days. And we give them lectures, video shows and things like that. So on one occasion, at the end of the yoga retreat, we have responses about the candidate students. We tell them to say what they like. So all of them said, some of them said we like the lecture, some of them said we like the quiz, because every day we had quiz contests. Some of them said, everybody said something different. And there was one boy who said, what I like the best was this Govinda Madhi Purusham at 7:30 in the morning. That's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And he would come every day morning from Dadar, which is like around 10 kilometers. He would come every day morning only for that darshan. And that is really captivating, it was attracting him so much to Krishna. So somebody is bringing garlands to the nikis, he is also preaching. Somebody is cooking in the kitchen. This is very much part of preaching. Once one of our teachers gave a powerful class, kind of Baba Sattva, and thousands of people came. And he was praised, and then his Guru Maharaj, Raghunath Swami Maharaj, received letters from many of his other disciples there. Joe Jordan, spectacular preaching. So then Rama Maharaj wrote a letter back to this Joe. Oh, I heard you have done big programs, a lot of people becoming devotees. But let me tell you, if you think you are better than the boy, the new bhakta who is washing pots, if you think you are preaching more effectively than one who is washing pots in the dikki room, then you are in illusion. Because the washing the pots and the making it sparkling clean, and when it's there in the altar, or when some Tulsi Arth is going on, and somebody has come and he sees those pots and he starts thinking, oh, this place is so clean, so nicely maintained. So he gets some positive impression about our coming. So everything is preaching. Everything is related to, directly or indirectly, it's related to preaching. I would like to share with you about one of our devotees. Gauram Prabhu was doing programs in Somaya College, which many of you will be going soon. And during that program, one boy would come only for prasad. After the program was over, he would come. This is in 96. After the kirtan, the prasadam would start and he would be there. And Gauram Prabhu never knew who this man was. He never seen him. And this boy sometimes accidentally and unintentionally would land up little early. And the lecture would be going on. So he would get to hear 5 minutes or 10 minutes kirtan, some lecture or some kirtan. He would be gone. And finally this boy left Bombay. He went to a remote place for some higher studies. And then in 1999, I remember I was there. Gauram Prabhu got a long letter. And this boy introducing himself. I was attending a program. I would come for PhD. But now I am alone here. And I have an intense desire to practice Krishna consciousness. And I am very fondly remembering those moments when I would take prasad, when I would do this. And then Gauram Prabhu said, we should write back to him. And we kept in touch with him. And this boy was one of the leading managers of a very big company in India. Tata Group. He got a huge flat in Andheri near Bombay. It's like, you can't imagine, it is very expensive, this area. And he got a huge flat. And he was working there. And for 3 years, his house was used as a center by our youth preachers. We would go there, do programs. And now that devotee has left everything and he joined full time. And he is managing our kitchen in Prasad. You might be knowing him also, Keshav Chandra Prabhu. Very nice devotee. So he was completely uninterested. And it's not that he became a devotee because of Gauram Prabhu's lectures. Because he would hardly attend lectures. So Prasad. So now the situation is he is now managing our Prasad. So what attracts someone to Krishna consciousness, we really don't know. There is no formula. You do like this, like this, like this, and then this person becomes a devotee. You can't say that. Because the dormant consciousness has to be awakened. We have to do our service. Cannot. Anybody can become a devotee. And also, this also means one more thing. Sometimes you might think that when we are preaching, how many of you have an active book distribution in London? Book distribution, going out and giving books. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something. I'm sure you might have had an experience. Sometimes you go out, nobody is taking a book. Have you experienced? And you see, have you ever felt, what am I doing? Is this really preaching? What do you think? Is that really preaching? You're going out, showing books, and nobody's interested, nobody's even stopping. And you spent 3 long hours outside the temple distributing books with your tilak, kantimala, dhoti kurta, and you come back. So what do you think you have done those 3 hours? You think it was a fruitful endeavor? If yes, why? If no, why? There is a microphone there, so please feel free to answer, because I want you to say something on this, because it's a very, very important thing, because book distribution is dying in ISKCON. People are not as tired as they were, say, 10 years ago. So, we'll try to diagnose this. Why this problem?
Yeah, I'd say this group for 2 reasons. Firstly, Krishna has seen the endeavor. It's not really about resolve, it's only about the endeavor. And Krishna has seen how much you're trying for him and struggling for him. And the other thing is, when we were coming, when they picked it up, so many amazing devotees have come like that. Just gone to the, you know, loft or gone to the shed, and they found it discarded and just picked it up, taking the dust off. And so Prabhupada's books are really, really amazing. So even if they don't seem interested, they just do it to get rid of it. Yeah.
So two points you're saying. One is, if I understood you correctly, one is, okay, you have spent 3 hours distributing books, nobody has taken, no problem. At least Krishna has seen your endeavor. That is one thing. The second is, don't worry, it's like a time bomb. It will work. Okay, that is one way of looking at it. Anything else? Krishna appreciating is one thing, but actually preaching, let's say, you are distributing books in a particular locality, and you see 5-6 people always, the shopkeepers, and they always see you walking. They always see you distributing books. Now Krishna says, okay, you are doing an endeavor. But with regards to those people, do you think you are preaching? Do you think you have done successful preaching? Yes, Prabhu.
Sometimes when I distribute a book, and if I've done well or not, like on a result basis, then sometimes people come up to me, and shake my hand and say, wow, that's really amazing what you're doing, you know?
Right.
And like sometimes some salesman will come up to me and say, wow, from one sales into another, you know, you've done a really good job, you know, and this and that, you know?
So you get some credit for that.
People appreciate what you're doing. And especially if you go out and you put a smile on your face and you're being friendly to the people, and if you're not really attached to the result, and people appreciate it, they pick it up from you and they're like, that's good preaching.
Anybody else? Catherine. Leon, right? Leon? Exactly, that's it. It started working, you have planted the seed. Actually, if you are just walking on the road with your tilak and kanti mala and your attire, you are preaching. Have you experienced any of the book distributors that sometimes you're standing and somebody walks up to you and says, you have a Bhagavad Gita? And he gives you money and takes. Have it happened to you? It's happened with me a few times. And sometimes, I think it's very common, you almost convince a person to take a book, and just when you thought he's going to take it, he says, I'm sorry, you don't need it. That means both these instances have taken place with me many times. Now, the most amazing thing is, both endeavors both the situations are teaching us some very important lessons. The first situation, when I'm standing in the train station many times, some people walk up to me and say, you have a Gita? You have this book? And they immediately take the rush off. So what I convince myself is, well, I have not preached to him. He has taken a book. This means, he has seen Hare Krishna's for a long time. And his consciousness has been bombarded. And because of the result of many devotees' efforts, and somehow he desperately was looking and then he saw me and he taken out. So this humbles me that I haven't done book distribution. And on the other hand, when I come across someone who is not taking a book, despite spending half an hour with him, I am convinced, don't worry. I have actually bombarded his consciousness with Hare Krishna so much, with Prabhupada and Prabhupada's book, that he might refuse to take a book now, he might refuse to take a book tomorrow, he might refuse to take a book for another 3 months, but because he's going to enter his consciousness like anything, eventually he'll only walk up to someone and take a book. And actually, this is how it works. Can anybody relate to this?
Yeah,
you want to say something? Modern educated men, they try to profess, they claim that we are not influenced by anything. We are independent thinking men, but they are fooling themselves. Because every one of us is always being influenced. Like for example, you are walking on the road and you see an ad, enjoy Coca-Cola. Then you walk ahead, then you see another banner which says, enjoy Coca-Cola. You see everywhere this banner. And then you are saying, oh, I'm not influenced. You might just ignore it. Apparently, externally you might ignore these holdings. But then you walk to a restaurant and you sit there, and without you realizing, you tell the waiter, get me Coca-Cola. And you think you have made an independent decision. But what has actually happened is this image, this visual has bombarded your consciousness. Similarly, a person walking on the streets, he sees a Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, useless people, lazy bums. We keep bombarding this image in the consciousness. And one day finally he says, okay, let me just try, what is this? Let me just check out. And then, that's how he does become a devotee. We have this famous place here called as Haji Ali. And there, the hoardings, if you want to put a hoarding of your product, a banner of your product, they charge something like 1 lakh rupees per day, which is very exorbitant. I don't know how much it is in pounds, but it's like a huge amount for one day. Why? Because they're convinced that a person sees my product being advertised, it will affect his consciousness. Otherwise, this company wouldn't be spending so much money on advertising. You know, Coca-Cola is sold at 15 rupees here. 15 rupees. And the actual cost of production and everything comes to some 90 paise, which is less than a rupee. And they actually sell it for 15 rupees. And all that remaining money has to go for the advertisement and other things. Because they are convinced that if you see an ad, as it affects your consciousness. So a preacher, when one is going out and preaching, he should know these two things. That I am helping this soul come back to God, and also his dormant consciousness will awaken by this going out. Just like if this door is locked, let us say this door is locked from outside, and we are trapped inside, and we have to get out now. The only option is to break the door. So let us say 10 of you start banging the door like anything. With all your might you come and you bang, bang, bang. After half an hour of intense struggle, you are tired and you just collapse on the ground. You are exhausted. And then some puny little fellow comes and he comes and he just touches the door, and the door falls off. Now, who is responsible for the door to fall off? All the other 10 who have banged the door so much, and then this fellow comes and takes the credit. And he just pushes the door. Similarly, 100 of us might go out book distribution every day. We might preach to so many people, and we might feel that nobody is becoming a devotee. But tomorrow somebody else might be distributing books, and he might give all the credit. So it's like that. So preaching is never a waste. Book distribution is never a waste. It always helps. In 2001 December marathon, we had put up a book table at one of our railway stations in Bombay. And one evening, we were given permission to put up a book table in a particular railway station for only 7 days. On the very first day morning, one man came up, and the first thing he did was, he abused the 3 brahmacharis who were there in the book table. He said, you guys are a lost cause. You are a parasite. You are a social parasite. You're good for nothing. And our devotees, they have been trained. We had a home distribution seminar, 5-day seminar. They have been trained how not to get agitated if people abuse you and things like that. So this devotee gave a prasadam packet and he smiled at him. But this man was not too pacified. And then this devotee said, please take a Gita, please take a book. He said, no, nothing to do. And then he was in a peace, he went away. Then again in the evening, because he had to go to the same station, again he saw the devotee, again he made some comments and he went. This happened all 7 days. days. And the last day, because all 7 days the same devotees are there, and they would always smile at him, talk to him sweetly. On the last day, this man took one book, because by this time he saw that the devotees are friendly with him and he was talking to them. First day he started by saying, "I am an atheist, I don't believe in God." And the subsequent day he was getting a little friendly and good talk. Finally he took a small book. This was in 2001 December marathon. And believe it or not, 2002 December marathon, he was already a 16 rounder, following 488 principles, and he came for a yatra. His name is Sudhir Tandir. I'll introduce you to him on this coming Sunday, coming Sundays. Thorough gentleman. So it's an amazing experience. So these devotees are so convinced, they got so fired up after this experience. So you really don't know how to become a devotee. And many of these people, they become devotees and then they might help us in our devotional service. In BTG, there's one devotee who writes articles. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. He writes beautiful articles, scientific articles he writes. And he was also an atheist earlier. And some devotees from Pune would go to his college, give lectures, and he would only argue for hours together. He would keep arguing. And now the same person has become such a fired up devotee. He had no interest in Krishna consciousness. I'm sure all of us have some, we know someone at least who didn't want to be a devotee. And his son has become a devotee. So the dormant consciousness can be awakened if Krishna desires it in so many ways. That can happen. The third point we understood regarding preaching is, the first is to progressively help the soul come back to Godhead. Second, to awaken the dormant consciousness. And the third is, preaching is the plan of the Lord. Preaching is the plan of the Lord. What it means is, Lord personally, Krishna personally desires for all the conditioned souls to come back to Him. So preaching is actually Lord's plan. Iccha desha samutyena dvanda mohena bala. Krishna explains in the Gita that the conditioned souls are being battered and bruised by this desire and hate. Hatred and desire. Constantly. They are suffering like anything. And then, to help them overcome this suffering, Krishna personally comes. Either in the form of the holy name or in his personal incarnation to help the conditioned souls come back to him. So Krishna has actually designed this plan. Any Shastric quotations or evidences which you think substantiate this point that this is Lord's plan? Potency to change the whole world. And Prabhupada writes there in that purport that I have a lot of mistakes. I'm not a very good English speaking person when I'm writing, but I'm sure this will bring about a revolution. And that's exactly what he did, because Prabhupada wrote this Bhagavatam years before he went to America. But he was convinced that this will bring about a revolution in the world. So, this is part of the Lord's plan. Also, we can understand that if there are prisoners and they are locked up in a prison, they are bound, the only way they can be released is if someone who is unbound, who is already free, he comes and releases them. Now, Kali Yuga is a degraded age, but people are actually, Lord Chaitanya has come and has opened the jail gates. Now, he is telling them, the doors are open, come on, get out of this place. Still, people are happy in their comfortable way. They don't want to get out of this material world. It's a very, very, very weird situation. There was a Russian scientist, Pavlov. He did a wonderful experiment called this. He gave a theory of classical conditioning. He kept two rats in a small cage and he kept food. Actually, he kept two switches, a red colored one and a blue colored switch. And as a rat would touch the red switch, some food would fall off. And then if you would accidentally touch the blue switch, you would get an electric shock and the rat would feel pain. So this went on for some days and the rat figured out, oh, if I do this, I get food. But now what happened after a few days, the scientist, he changed the switches. The rat would get a shock and would touch the other switch. So this happened for some days and the rat figured out, and again he changed the switch. It went on. After some time, the scientist, he actually pulled out the gates open. He unlocked the gate of the cage. But the rats refused to go out. Because they were so absorbed in playing, in trying to figure out that switch. They were so content inside, they didn't realize that they are supposed to be getting out of this place. So this is what is happening in the material world. We are so absorbed in our own tiny things. Pavlov, P-A-V-L-O-V,
Pavlov's dogs.
Pardon?
He did an experiment on dogs.
Dogs also? Yeah, you done it in a different animal, I don't know. But I heard one of our teachers do this. I don't know many of his theories, but this is one thing which I really like. Which I could relate to, because we are so absorbed in our materialistic sense that we keep activities. That we don't even realize that there is an opportunity, there is something like kingdom of God, there is something like spiritual world, then we can eternally be happy. So therefore, Lord comes and He desires that we all go back to Him. And another point to understand in this is that fourth point, because it is Lord's plan, the fourth point is of a lot of importance. That is, Priti is actually done by Krishna. We are not actually creatures. In one minute. So, four points. First is, it's preaching is to help the conditioned soul go back to Godhead. Second, to develop the dormant consciousness. Third, it is a part of the Lord's plan. And fourth, preaching is done actually by Lord Krishna. How does Krishna do preaching? As the Paramatma, in the heart, he inspires the conditioned soul. He arranges facilities for that the conditioned soul can get attracted to Krishna consciousness. Preaching is actually done by Krishna. If we think we are very compassionate, if you are preaching and we think we are very compassionate, I am a very compassionate preacher, then we are in Maya. We can't be compassionate. Prabhupada is compassionate. We can be instruments of His compassion. So this is a very, very important point. A preacher who thinks, I am preaching, I am a preacher, is gone. It's very important to understand that to the extent we are humble servants, We are allowing Krishna's mercy to flow into the heart of the conditioned soul. We are becoming a transparent medium, via medium. We are helping that soul grab Krishna consciousness. One of the most successful book distributors in ISKCON was, at one time, Naveen Nirad Prabhu. He was asked, how do you manage to distribute so many books? He said, when I give a book to a person, I immediately start telling myself, now, this man is holding a book. Krishna and Prabhupada on one side, and he on the other side. Now, Krishna and Prabhupada are trying to convince him to take a book, and I am in the middle. So I shouldn't do anything that will impede the communication with them. So I should only foster it, I should only facilitate it. So you would always try to think that way, that Krishna and Prabhupada can talk to you now. He will present, he will be very, very conscientious, very careful, very discreet in his dealings with that person. So he says, I could actually see Krishna's mercy flowing. I could see so many people becoming favorable. Therefore, we should be convinced that Krishna is like that expert surgeon, doctor, and he can use us as an instrument. Just like a surgeon, if he does a bypass surgery on you, you don't glorify the operating tools that the surgeon uses. We don't talk so much about the scissors and the blades and other things that he uses to tear open our bodies. Similarly, Krishna uses all these devotees to fulfill his own plan. Just like he used Arjuna as an instrument to clean up the society. Battle of Kurukshetra was like a huge operation. And Krishna was using Arjuna as an instrument and cleaning up the whole thing. For to the extent we are agreeing to be humble servants, instruments, we can be used as an instrument for preaching. Very important point. This can be found in Srila Prabhupada's prayers which he made in Dalhousa. Very interesting prayers. The first prayer which he wrote before reaching Boston, prayer to Lord Krishna. There we get this mood of how we should be depending on Krishna as an instrument. Then he writes, Tara Icha Balavan Pashaya Tanatan Hoye Jate Gauranga Nama Prithivi Te Nagara Vyasa Mudra Nada Nadi Sakale Hi Lore Krishna Nama. He says, it's your desire which is very strong. You are getting the prayer. Tara Icha Balavan, your desire is very strong, Krishna. Pashaya Tanatan. And because of you, the whole world will be irritated by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, I want to be just an instrument. Then he writes further, Seka jade kori bare aapya dadi dido more yoge nahi ati dina nina Thai se tomara kripa maagi techi anurupa aadi tumhe shava ratra vina. Very beautiful poem, right? That my spiritual master's desire is very strong to fulfill your desire, and I am just an instrument. So please, if you think I am fit, please use me as an instrument. So it's actually a very esoteric thing. I am not qualified to speak on this, but one devotee explained what actually happens is, Krishna and his pure devotees, they have a very loving relationship. Krishna wants to fulfill all the desires of his pure devotee. And his pure devotee is desperate to spread Krishna's word everywhere. So now they are having competition, a transcendental competition. Krishna wants to fulfill the pure devotee's desire, pure devotee wants to glorify Krishna. And at that time, Krishna is thinking, how should I help my pure devotee fulfill his desires? I need some instruments. And then he sees this new neophyte devotee walks along and he is saying, Krishna, I have no qualification, but please use me as an instrument. He is praying to be used as an instrument. So Krishna gets excited. Oh, this soul, although is not qualified, but he has a sincere desire to please my pure devotee. So immediately he takes that devotee and uses him as an instrument. That's why if you see, they are conditioned souls. Still, you see some devotees are doing dramatic. They do amazing success in devotional service. It's not humanly possible to distribute 300 books and 1,000 books at one time. Devotees are distributing 1,000 Gitas in one day. That's a fact. ISKCON history. I think few years down the line, people will not believe these things. There are devotees who have distributed 1,000 Bhagavatams in one day. It's incredible. It's humanly impossible. Pardon? 1,000.
One day, maybe 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours. There was a Harinam Ananda Prabhu. He would also do that. Amazing book distribution they have done. But, yeah. How could they do it? Krishna decides to. Krishna can do amazing things to a devotee. Prabhupada gave the example of. Yeah,
what is
the
question?
Okay.
Is that alright? Or should I ask
it? You can ask
one. Okay. I was just wondering because of like you say, well, this is instruments, Krishna's really doing the preaching. But then, to what extent should we endeavor to make arrangements for. For nice preaching programs to try and attract people, so we think, I should do this, I should try and do that, but then we're not actually doing anything.
That's a very good question. What you asked is a very, very good question. If Krishna is doing everything, to what extent we plan, to what extent we do? Yes. One time, one devotee told Prabhupada that, I think this was Uttama Shloka Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I'm actually not sure how to go ahead with preaching because I'm a lot of anxiety and I'm in control managing preaching. But when I go out on distribution and I'm with the Sankirtan party, I'm very blissful. But that time Prabhupada said, our process is to take anxieties for Krishna and then depend completely on Krishna. Then Prabhupada said, our process is to be absorbed in Krishna, and we can be absorbed in Krishna if we pray, Krishna, without your help, I cannot do anything. So when we are praying like this, we become dependent on Krishna. When we become dependent on Krishna, we become completely absorbed in Krishna. And if we are not absorbed in Krishna, if we are independent, then we are in anxiety. So Prabhupada gave the definition of enthusiasm. What is enthusiasm defined as? Prabhupada's definition. That answers the question. Organization with intelligence. You are planning, you use everything, you organize everything, and then you go ahead, knowing fully well that I have to depend on Krishna. So we have to make our plans, otherwise we won't be able to preach. So we have a lot of preaching strategies, how to distribute books. These tips and these techniques are very important. But we should never think that, oh, preaching can be done independent of this also. Ultimately what matters is, Prabhupada said, what is the force? Purity is the force. Preaching is the essence, purity is the force. So all these techniques will fail if we are not depending on Krishna. We have to balance, we have to try our best. It is said that it takes 6 people to make a horse drink water. Take a horse to the bank of the river and make it drink water, it takes 6 people. Similarly, to make 1% devotee, many factors are involved. Many people are involved. It's not easy. We have to try our best. Prabhupada gave what example for this? As an humble instrument, what example he gave? Very famous example he would give. Whenever anybody would glorify me, he would say, I am simply a postal peon. In Indian government services, they would have what is called as a peon. Peon is somebody who would simply carry a message from one place to another, files from one place to another. Like a postal, you just deliver. If you are in this mood that I am simply delivering, we can. Somebody may take an argument that, okay, I should preach if I have a lot of knowledge. Now, if you have a glass that is full of mint, then you can always pour it on an empty glass. But now I have no substance myself, I am a new devotee. How can I give Krishna consciousness to others? It seems like a very valid argument. Now your pot is full, you can always take out something and give others. But if your pot is empty, you have to scratch and you get nothing out of it. And then when do you give it to others? So what should we do? Should we wait for some time before we preach? Or should we preach immediately? Because we have no substance in our hearts. What is the understanding? Am I clear with this question? Are you able to understand? Yes, anybody would like to answer?
I think you can always give something. It's like Prabhupada gave that example of there's one, who's the little girl? Shamsun, who's the little girl?
Saraswati.
She was the man of
one. I was thinking of the same example, yeah. Continue, tell that everybody.
And so, she was running around saying, you know Krishna? And the Prabhupada said, see, this is Krishna. Anyway.
Yes. Whatever you know, you share with others. It's not that you have to be a learned scholar and only when you have mastered some subject you need to preach. So our pots might be empty, but if we give whatever we have, Krishna fills our pot. Krishna consciousness preaching is a different science altogether. If you are a student of physics and you haven't studied physics, you can't teach physics to others. But if you have some understanding in Krishna consciousness and you immediately give it to others, Krishna fills you with more realization. So preaching is not a waste, even if you don't know much. Whatever we know, we tell them. Prabhupada was in Melbourne, Sydney, I think, Rala Gopinath Temple, duties. After the duties were installed, Prabhupada gave Brahman initiation to a few people who were very new. And Prabhupada was praying to the duties. Rala Gopinath, please take care of this. Useless people. They have given them Brahman initiation, but they don't know anything. So you please take care of yourself and take care of them also. Prabhupada means you are not qualified. And the next time Prabhupada, this was in May 1971, and 6 months later when Prabhupada came back to Sydney and he found to his amazement that these people were doing pakka deity worship, excellent deity worship standards, they were preaching. So you might not be qualified. But whatever we have, if you share it with others, if you are preaching, Krishna makes things happen. So we have to be convinced that I am a humble instrument. This is a very important point. One time, Prabhupada was in Germany, Prithu Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, narrates the story. That when Prabhupada was giving lecture, he was sitting on an asana like this, and people are on the floor, and he spoke about Varnashram, the divisions of society. So one man stood up and said, so Swamiji, what do you think? Do you think you are the highest class, the Brahminical class? Prabhupada said first class, second class, third class, fourth class. That's why you are sitting on a high pedestal and addressing all of us. So Prabhupada actually had tears in his eyes. And in an emotion choked voice he said, I do not belong to any of the four classes. I am worthy of the four classes. I am the fifth class. Only qualification is I am simply repeating the words of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada was convinced at this point that it's Krishna is preaching, I am simply an instrument. In fact, one tape which we always play on Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day, not temple, this is the standard. Every Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati disappearance day festival, the morning class is given by Prabhupada and we play the same tape where Prabhupada is glorifying his Guru Maharaj and he starts crying. So that's a powerful class. That entire material is Prabhupada saying, I was so fallen, I had no qualification, and Guru Maharaj was very kind to me. And then he goes on, and finally at the end he says, and you people, all of you are helping my Guru Maharaj, and then starts crying. And then that lecture stops there. So Prabhupada was convinced that he is a simpler instrument. These are some of the most important points which I thought I should share regarding this point about what is preaching. Once you know that preaching includes these four points, then we can go ahead and discuss on what to actually preach. That will be part of our next discussion in our next class. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Okay. You said that if you
said, if you only know a little bit, still try to bring it to your Christian consciousness. And then if the person you're preaching to asks some questions that you don't know, you're going to look bad in the society that you're preaching.
Yeah, so that helps you become stronger, right? You start thinking about the answers, you start reading, and then you can always write to the temple. It's not that you have to be very convinced to argue and to convince. You can always tell him, sir, I'm a new person, why don't you come to a temple and meet some of my seniors? They know all the answers. And always you can tell him whatever little we know. It's not that, see, you should never speak beyond your realization. And also one advantage is when you face an opposition and you are not able to answer the questions, you start thinking about it. So Satsarup Maharaj writes in that book, obstacles in devotional service about different things. One is doubts, philosophical doubts and challenges that people put forward. That chapter is very nice. It's very good for the future. He explains how we should handle this kind of opposition. You should always meditate on these challenging questions. And you should try to find out answers on your own. And then you should ask a senior devotee and get it confirmed. So your mind is always working. Anyway, your mind is, each one of us is carrying a huge burden. A mind always giving us so many ideas, so many problems. If you start thinking about all these philosophical doubts and answers, Krishna will learn about us because we are using our mind to serve Krishna. So you get answers. And even if you don't have the answers, no problem. Get them to temple. Just be nice to them. Jidam Prashad, Jayana Prabhu, he would preach to people. People would be impressed by simply his demeanor, the way he would talk to them, the way he would be kind to them. It is one person, he came, he was interested in joining the temple, but he was not sure. So he was told by the temple president that you can go and assist him. Jayana Prabhu was cleaning a particular place. We can begin our services by assisting him. So this man came to Jayananda Prabhu and Jayananda started talking to him and cleaning the place. And this man started seeing that this person is very happy. He saw Jayananda Prabhu bliss doing service, laughing and talking about Krishna. And this man started wondering, he's a sweeper in this place. If he can be so blissful, what about the others? He was convinced that these people, you know, they have substance, they know so many things. So whatever you know, you can tell them. And if you don't know, call them to temple. There is one of my counselors who used to come to a meeting, Raghavendra. Illiterate fellow, he actually can't read or write. And the worst part is he's from South India, he comes here, he attends my meeting and he sleeps the whole meeting. But he's convinced, I have to thank Hare Krishna and Krishna is God. And every marathon he goes about distribution. He can't even speak the local language properly. And wherever you distribute books, some many times people would ask him, have you read these books? And you tell them, see, I'm a literate person. He's working as a servant in a restaurant. He gets very little money. But I know a lot of Prabhujis. You know, they are very highly qualified. And they are reading these books and they have given up everything. So you come to a temple. People who take books only by enthusiasm, by conviction. So if you have enthusiasm to preach, even if you don't have knowledge, Krishna will give you. He'll give you facilities to read, to preach. Prabhupada gave a classic example of, you know, for enthusiasm in preaching. Charlie Chaplin. He talked about one movie of Charlie Chaplin where he's dancing and then I think his coat or something he gets torn off. And then he comes back and everybody is laughing because his coat is torn. And then he looks and he realizes that he's actually become a spectacle. You know, people are having a joke at him. But what he starts doing then is, he starts wildly dancing. Although his coat is torn. And he becomes so ecstatic and people are so enthused by his enthusiasm. They start telling of their coats. And they think, and they also start joining him. So Prabhupada gave an example to explain how, if you're enthusiastic and desperate to preach, so people will be carried away by their enthusiasm, by your eagerness to give Krishna. So whatever you have, you can give. Yeah, Prabhu, you have a question. Somebody else, raise their hand.
Yes, I think I understand the need to preach and how important it is, but sometimes I have trouble thinking about
trying to preach.
Yeah, almost like I'm not convinced. Like if I'm experimenting with myself, why should I give the opportunity? And why should I try and make someone else believe that something works when I haven't seen results myself?
See, this particular aspect will be covered in our session on why to preach. Today we discuss what is preaching. Then we have what to preach. Third session will be why to preach. Then we discuss this. Why we should preach? I'm happy. And this point is very important. Many times you feel I'm not convinced of theology myself. Why that should I go up? But if you try telling others, see, as you rightly said, Chirag said in the beginning, Krishna is seeing the endeavor. Many times you forget that Krishna is actually a person. We are not convinced of this fact. That Krishna is directly intervening in my life. We don't know this. But if you make an endeavor, if you try to tell Krishna about Krishna to somebody, even if you are not convinced, then Krishna, because he's seeing that you're trying to get a conditioned soul nearer to him, he gives us that taste. I can tell you my own experience. When I joined as a new bhakta, I was completely spaced off. Gaurav Guru was my counselor, he would tell me you should go for Sankirtan, and I would be like not sure. I would use Guru Puja, I would do morning program. But somehow, I would go for group distribution very reluctantly because I was scared of meeting people. But so I went on, and then I personally feel the reason why I could actually be comfortable and happy here in the temple was because of group distribution. That year 1999-2000, I was going out just as a kind of a ritual, you know. A friend had told me, just go. And slowly I got taste in it, and I was like heading a department for 3 years, and I was telling everybody to go, and we had a big team of devotees, and built many things, because in our temple, services keep changing every 3 years. It's not that you are a good distributor for the rest of your life. You are not a pujari for the rest of your life. Everybody does everything. So those 3 years are the most ecstatic. Because initially it is very torturous, you know. The mind is protesting. Because you are going to be atheistic people. We are not used to begging. It's like kind of a beggar. You are going out and telling people, please take a book. You know, it's like, it's very humbling. It's a very humbling experience. But if you can get to that initial phase, and then once you get that taste, that rasa, then that's intoxicating. So some of our congregation devotees, old people, Abhiratan Prabhu, I want to arrange a meeting of him also. He is almost 70, he's got many operations on his body, but every month he is the most consistent Buddhist distributor in our temple. I don't know where he gets that energy from. It's amazing. And we Brahmacharya are rushing him, you know, because. So he's got that taste, Krishna is giving that taste now. Now he's unstoppable. So Krishna helps. Initially, I agree with you. We don't feel that. We won't feel like many Krishna consciousness, many things you won't feel like doing initially. I know that you dance in kirtans initially. But then later on we get that taste. Okay? So next time that we have is tomorrow. I was thinking of having a group exercise in the beginning. So if you all can come at 11:30 sharp. No, tomorrow is what? Saturday we have at 10:30. I'll give you the time. Whatever time you decide, we'll come at that time so that we can start with the group exercise immediately. Otherwise, like today what happened was, we couldn't start off because some of you are not there. The first activity we'll have is the group exercise. This 5-minute exercise I have in mind. And then we'll go. Okay? Yep, last. Take a microphone, I can't do it. His guru also actually. He told the same story in our temple also, but he refuses in the name of the devotee. But I won't tell you that name of the devotee, but actually in Russia, there are many stories like this. About atheistic people and about people, the dramatic stories of how people became devotees because of Buddhist tradition. Russia is a classic example of how we should preach. Prabhupada went for 3 days in June 1971, met that boy, Ivan, and the Indian boy, Narayan. Spent just one day with them, and then Prabhupada was gone. And then 20 years later, when Shyam Sundar Prabhu went there were thousands of devotees, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu was crying like a baby. He couldn't believe that when I came here 20 years ago. Yeah, we heard that in Mayapur, Shyam Sundar Prabhu's, how Shyam Sundar Prabhu reacted when he went to Russia 20 years ago. He couldn't believe. So many devotees.
Just because one Bhagavad Gita was stolen somehow and they had taken it to Russia and Prabhupada had given that boy the book and then so many things happened and then that boy was just one day in Krishna consciousness and he was preaching to his university friends and we don't know what Krishna has in store. Mahaprabhu has said that this is going to spread like wildfire, so we just have to be an instrument. It's going to happen. And if we are ready to preach, no problem. Krishna will take use somebody else as an instrument. We are going to be the losers. Krishna, no problem. There are so many souls. You can pick up anyone.
Initiation
also. Prabhupada did many things like this. Actually, I sometimes feel, you know, after 500 years now, just like we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and sometimes we get a doubt. Probably this is a mythological thing because things like Mahaprabhu dancing and the animals dancing in the dark in the forest, right? Things like that. I sometimes feel because you have a doubting mind, restless mind, I feel, is it really true? But then I strongly feel that 500 years down the line, when people read Lilamrita, they feel the same. They feel that this has to be some kind of imaginary story. How can this happen? How can a 70-year-old man with two architects and make the worst drug addicts and hippies dance? And I'm sure they will think that this is some kind of a fictional story. Because it's too good to be true. We can't realize it because we've seen it happen just in 3 decades. So we feel, okay, it must have happened. But we can't realize the kind of thing that Prabhupada has actually done. It's incredible. Going to New York and making so many people do it. Okay, we stop. So we'll meet. Next program is at 3:30, the music class. Second session of that will be done. So today evening, if anybody is interested in going for programs, please let me know latest by lunch. I don't want to push anyone today. From next week, there will be a fixed program. You have to be part of that. But today and tomorrow, I want you to come out on your own and tell me if you are interested. I'll send you for some programs. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.